Well, this morning we continue and we complete our little series on words that travelled from the Acts of the Apostles. And we come to what is probably the best known story from Acts, the conversion of Saul on his journey from Jerusalem to Damascus. When I'm asking people to tell me about their faith and to explain their faith to other people, I always ask them to say three things. The three things are what I was like, what God did, and how that's changed me. Now, if that was you, if you were being asked about your faith, and you were being asked what I was like, what God did, and how that's changed me, I wonder what you would say. Just think about it for a moment. What I want to look at for a moment is in these three verses, is how that was for Saul. What might Saul say? And if you want the answer, you go to Acts 26 and his defence before Agrippa, where he very kindly fills in all the answers. He's obviously been trained in giving a testimony because he comes up with these three things. But what he was, if we look at verses 1 and 2, meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. That's fairly graphic, isn't it? Breathing out murderous threats. He was anti the Christians. He wanted to bring them to trial, to put them in prison. This is what he was. Then in verses 3 to 6, we see this dramatic encounter, this blinding light, this voice that he heard. This is what God did. He turned his life around completely and utterly. How did it change him? Well, if you've got your Bibles open there, look at verse 20, just after the reading we just had. At once he, that is Saul, began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And Paul became that great apostle, as God says in those words to Ananias. This man is my chosen servant, verse 15, to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. That's how it changed him. And what we see here is that actually no one is beyond the reach of God. And what we see, and the first thing I want to bring out from this account is what we've been seeing throughout this series in the Acts, and that it is God who is the great missionary. And what we've been seeing as we've been going along is how God brings people together. We saw how God brought Philip and the Ethiopian together on the road. We saw last week how Peter and Cornelius were brought together. And how God prepares people to come to faith. And here again, God is at work. Jesus, who is God, meets Saul on the road to Damascus in this power of the blinding light. It stopped Saul in his tracks and then sent him on to a new life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was God who brought Ananias to Saul. God was at work. And friends, the big truth is that no one comes to faith unless God is at work. Without God, there is no way we come to faith. And if you're here this morning, or if you're watching online, and you're not sure where you stand with God, not sure whether you've come to faith yet, then let me tell you, being here or watching this morning is not an accident. God, by his Holy Spirit, is at work. He's brought you here. He's working in your life. It is by God at work that we come to faith. But the second thing, very clearly in this account, is that salvation comes through an encounter with Jesus. Look again, if you would, at verses 3 to 5, and let me read them for us, as if I may. As Saul near Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's an amazing encounter. Now, most of us have never had an encounter like this. And yet the basic truth is the same, is that the only way of salvation is through coming to an understanding of who Jesus is. The only way we can come to faith is in and through Jesus and through what he's done for us on the cross. I remember being at a prayer meeting after we'd had a mission in one of the churches I was in. And at the prayer meeting, a man stood up and he said, I have found salvation. And then he told us how he'd done the Christianity Explained course before the mission. But then during the mission, he'd realized just how far his life fell short of what God wanted. And he realized for the first time that Jesus had died to save him. And he'd asked Jesus to take control of his life. Now for him, there'd been no flashing lights, no voices, but he'd had an encounter with Jesus nonetheless. And let me speak to any who are here today who are not sure about their faith. And encourage you. There are Gospels of Mark at the back. Please pick one up. They're free. Take one with you. But better, speak to me afterwards and join me on a Christianity Explained course. And then together we can read Mark's Gospel. And together we can encounter Jesus Christ. Because that is how we come to faith. Every one of us. But if you are sure of your faith, then please, you must have people that you would long to see come to faith. And what you need to be doing is pointing them to Jesus. Read a gospel with them. There is this little course called The Word One-to-One. And it's very helpful. It's on not just John's gospel. That's the one that's featured there. But it enables us to read the gospel one-to-one with someone so that people can have an encounter with Jesus. Saul's conversion was the work of God the Father. And the Holy Spirit drew Saul to Jesus, and he encountered Jesus, and he came to faith. And the same is true for us. Through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we come to faith. But the human factor is also important. And what we see in these verses is a wonderful thing of Ananias, who is the servant for salvation. And here, look at it with me in verse 11. The Lord told Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Verse 13, Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. What we're seeing here is a truth both wonderful and yet concerning. The truth is that most people come to faith through some human contact, through a friend, through a colleague, through a family member. And that is wonderful because it means that you and I have the privilege of being involved in helping people come to faith. But it's concerning as well because God might actually want us to do that. And we might have to go and speak to somebody about our faith. Saul has come blind into Damascus. He's had the dramatic encounter with Jesus. And now God has chosen and directs Ananias to go and see Saul. And how wonderfully typical Ananias is of Christians down the ages. His immediate response to God's call to go to Saul is to find every excuse he could not to do it. Isn't that how it is? Of course it is. Now, to give Ananias his due, he had more reasons than most to hold back. He'd heard about Saul and his pedigree, but in the end he goes. And he's used by God. He is used by God not to teach great things. He simply encourages Saul along the next path of his faith. Albert McMakin lived in America, in the Midwest, in the first half of the 20th century. He was a quiet, well-spoken farmer and a committed Christian. Now, Albert heard that a preacher, Mordecai Ham, was leading a series of evangelistic meetings in a nearby town. So he took his pickup round the town and he asked people, youngsters that were sitting on the street corners, if they wanted to come to the meeting. One guy he saw, a tall, slim young man, wasn't very eager. But Albert was clever. He said, well, if you want, you can drive the pickup. And the young man came with him. And he came with him every night. And he got to the last night, and Albert was feeling a little bit tired and a little bit down. But he thought, well, I said I'd do it every evening. I will. And once again, the reluctant teenager accepted the invitation to drive. That night, Mordecai Ham spoke very well. He invited people to respond by getting up and coming to the front. To Albert's surprise, the reluctant teenager stood and walked down to the front. Now, Albert McMakin's name is unknown. The teenager's name was Billy Graham. Albert played a part in the story. He walked with him as part of his story. Ananias plays a part in Paul coming to faith, as Philip played the part a couple of weeks ago with the Ethiopian. And I think there are things that we can learn from Ananias as we learned from Philip. One course that I've run a number of times on faith sharing describes Ananias as the unsung hero of Acts, and describes him as a man with an open sign clearly visible in all parts of his life. Now, as we look at the text, see these ways in which Ananias was open to God and what God was saying. And as we do that, check for yourself. Am I open in these ways? The first thing is, he had open ears. Verse 10, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. God calls him. Ananias hears, and he responds positively. As we've seen, he had plenty of reasons not to. Plenty of reasons not to. But he had open ears when God was speaking. And again, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about the nudges of the Holy Spirit that come to us. But it comes to us if we are open. When we feel that thing of saying, oh, perhaps you could speak to that person. Are we open already? When we're chatting with people and there's just a glimpse of an opportunity to say something about our faith, are we open? Or are we saying the equivalent of verse 13? Lord, I've heard many reports about this man. I don't think he's for you. Ananias had open ears that listened to God. May we have open ears that listen to God. He also had an open heart. He wasn't sure, as we read verses 13 and 14, he wasn't sure about what God was asking. He voiced his concerns. And yet, with God's assurance that no one is beyond his love. Verse 15, the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument. With that, he went. Why did he go? Because he wanted his name written in the Acts of the Apostles? No. He went because he had an open heart. He was a follower of Jesus. He longed to see others become a follower of Jesus as well. I wonder, what was the most wonderful moment in your life? What was the most wonderful moment in your life? I'm not going to ask you to tell me. For me, it was a moment on October the 8th, 1972, when I met with Jesus and came to faith. And it was so great, so life-changing, that I want everyone to know that same truth and to come to that same faith that God has given to me. Living with Christ has been an amazing adventure. I long others to share that adventure. It's been an amazing path. I long others to be on that path as well. And I hope you do. I hope we have open hearts that love people and want people to come to faith. He had open ears, an open heart. He also had an open mind. Ananias was open to learn from God. Well, what did he learn? What did he learn in this experience here? I think he learned that God is always at work in people's lives. God is always at work in people's lives. Verse 12, in a vision, Saul has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. He's always at work in people's lives. And he's learning that God actually chooses some pretty surprising people for his purposes. Again, verse 15, that the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument. Now, you've got to think that God's got it wrong. I mean, if he's going to use somebody as an apostle, surely it could be somebody within the group of Christians that have been there in Jerusalem. Not this man who was totally opposed to the Christian faith. And yet, Saul, stroke Paul, is the man that God chose. And this is what Ananias is learning, that God uses some amazing people, often in strong contrast to their past. Ananias had an open mind to learn from God. We're drawing towards the end of this little series. And I hope that we have open minds to learn. Did we learn from Philip with the Ethiopian about Philip being available, about Philip asking questions, about Philip being ready to answer for his faith and accompanying that Ethiopian on his path to faith? And are we learning today about having open hearts, open ears, open minds, and open minds that learn? And then fourthly, open wills. That's verses 17 and 18. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. An open will. He obeyed. He obeyed God. And he went and did what God had asked. And in reality, as you look at it, actually what God asked of him wasn't very much, was it? He placed his hands on Saul's head. He prayed a prayer. I think I could do that. Place my hands on somebody's head and pray a prayer. I think most of us could do that, couldn't we? So we often think that helping people on the path of faith is something very difficult, very time-consuming. And yes, being concerned for people is time-consuming. But out of love and out of friendship, we long to see people come to faith, and we put ourselves in a position where we're willing to do that. But often, all it is just accompanying people on the path that God is already moving them on so that, by the power of God, they come to faith. Ananias helped Paul on his path to faith. And forever, Ananias is linked with Paul. So whenever you think of Paul's conversion, you immediately think of this man, Ananias, the unsung hero. Quite a few years back, I was on a conference, and it was a big conference center, and the various conferences going on. And I found out that while in the same conference building, there was a group of Baptist ministers meeting. And I saw one of them, and I thought, wow. And I went over to him during one coffee break and I said to him, you won't know me, but some years back when you were leading a mission a youth mission in West Ealing. As we were preparing for the mission, you taught us the gospel, and during that meeting, I came to faith. That man's name was Doug Barnett. He'd probably forgotten me by the end of that day, but his name is always linked with me because he was instrumental, as Ananias was here in Saul coming to faith. He was instrumental in me coming to faith. God took Ananias, and God wrote Ananias into Paul's story. Now, I wonder whose story God wants to write your name into. Who is it that God wants you to be part of in just helping them, accompanying them on the path to faith? People come to faith in many ways. But for all, it is because God is at work. For all, it requires an encounter with Jesus. And for most, it involves a human agent. Friends, you and I are those human agents. Weak, fragile as we may be, we are those human agents if we have open ears that listen to God's nudges. If we have open hearts that love and want to see people come to faith, if we have open minds that learn of God and understand God, and open wills that link into others so that we can be part of God's work in other people's lives. Open ears, open hearts, open minds, open wills. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for these encouraging stories that we've been looking at over these recent weeks. Philip with the Ethiopian. Last week, Peter and Cornelius. This week, Ananias and Saul stroke Paul. And we do pray, Heavenly Father, that these stories would encourage us. Would encourage us to have those open hearts that long to see people come to faith. Open minds so that we learn about you and about your purposes in people's lives. And then open wills to follow your leading and guidance to those whom you have been preparing to come to faith. Strengthen us, Heavenly Father, as individuals and as a church, as we seek to share your love and grace with others. And this we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.